Let's go to Revelation 21. Verses 1 and 2.
Amen.
And then verses 9 to 11.
Amen. The Revelation?
No. Revelation 21.
Oh, 20.
1 and 2, and then 9 to 11.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen.
Amen.
Then
one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the holy city, the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, to open our eyes.
Amen.
To see this wonderful bride of the Lamb.
Amen.
Even to be this wonderful bride of the Lamb.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Show us the great city, the holy Jerusalem.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Descending out of heaven from God.
Amen.
Having the glory of God.
Amen.
Let us go to Hebrews chapter 12. Amen.
Amen.
Beginning in verse 22 to 23.
Hebrews.
Let's read we instead of you, okay?
Amen.
Unless you don't believe, you have come. But we have come.
Amen. But we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you. We have come to Mount Zion.
Yes.
Amen. To the city of the living God.
Amen.
Amen.
We have come to heavenly.
Amen.
The city of the living God.
Amen.
Amen.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen. Hallelujah. For the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen.
It is really wonderful for us to realize this.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The full realization is in Revelation chapter 21. But don't think that the building of this wonderful city is later on. But the building begins today already.
Amen.
That's why it says the church of the firstborn.
Amen.
Amen.
The church is not an organization, not this building. Peter says we are all the living stones.
Yeah.
to be built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. Notice how Paul wrote in Hebrews the tense. He didn't say, you will go to Mount Zion. But he says, but you have come.
Amen.
The tense means now you have come. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
Then he says to the festal gathering, not just general assembly, but a festal gathering, because when God's people come together, they're enjoying a feast.
Amen.
It's a wonderful feast.
Amen.
Right? Don't you enjoy the feast?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And it says to the church of the firstborn.
Amen.
My, the Lord has to show us that the church is the heavenly Zion today, because the church is not an earthly entity.
Right.
It is a spiritual and heavenly building.
Amen.
In fact, chapter 11 of Hebrews already told us that our father Abraham, the father of faith, he was looking for the heavenly city.
That's right.
Right? Let us read chapter 11 concerning Abraham. Beginning in verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Let us read.
By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Our Abraham, our father of faith, was already looking forward to that city.
Amen.
Although at that time, during his time, he didn't attain yet, because it wasn't the time yet. Right? So, let us continue to read in verse 15. Right.
And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Amen. He had prepared a city for them.
Amen.
Verse 10, it says, for he waited for the city which has foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Whose builder and maker, some translations says, whose architect, designer, and builder is God.
Amen.
It is not a man-made thing. All the man-made thing is going to collapse sooner or later. But this wonderful building is designed by God. And therefore, you can really see it came down from God out of heaven. It is a heavenly city. No word can describe. You have to see it. Anything in any organization created by man is going to collapse. The Vatican is going to collapse, definitely. No doubt about that. Right. But man-made, all this division, all the problems, everyone doing their own thing, this is not God's way. And so, in chapter 12, it says, you have come. Really wonderful. Abraham did not arrive yet. He saw it from afar. But now when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he says, I will build my church.
Amen.
And his church is this wonderful reality of the temple, as was in Jerusalem. The temple in the Old Testament days is just a type of the reality of the church that the Lord will build. And he came to build that reality.
Amen.
That's why Paul says the church is the house of the living God.
Right.
And we all, like Peter said, we are the living stones to be built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
Right? Now, let us go to Ephesians together. Chapter 5, telling us the church is the bride of Christ. Let us read Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. You know, in so many of the marriages, marriage ceremony where, you know, a pastor is conducting, they love to read this verse. Husband, love your wives, and wives, submit yourselves to your husband. I think almost every wedding the pastor would read this verse, right? I don't know. But I've been to quite a few weddings. I hardly miss that. But what was Paul talking about is not about wives and husband only, but more so it's about Christ and the church. Let's read the whole thing up to verse 32.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How wonderful.
Amen.
He's not talking about Adam and Eve. He's talking about Christ and the church.
Amen.
And it's a great mystery.
Yeah.
That means from the very first page of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God already revealed the great mystery that is in his heart.
Yeah.
That he, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wants to have a glorious bride.
Amen.
Which is the church.
Yeah.
And the whole Bible, from the very beginning, and you see at the end, he fulfilled his purpose.
Amen.
You see the Bible ended with the Lamb and his bride.
Yes.
The Bible started with Adam and Eve, which is just a wonderful picture of Christ and the church. And at the very end, he fulfilled this wonderful purpose. This is what this book is all about. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why today we love Christ and we also love the church. Amen.
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 And the way we can reach the goal is to enjoy this wonderful feast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Giving us such a wonderful grace.
Amen.
It is your good pleasure to reveal your Son in us.
Amen.
Pray that all of us will really enjoy and see all the riches of this Christ.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Abba, Father.
Father God.
To offer up a burnt offering to the Father.
Yes.
A little bit louder so we can all hear you.
Yeah. I would like to offer up a burnt offering to the Father.
Amen. Amen.
And as some of you may know, I started a new job last week, in the middle of the week, and there was a lot to take in. And after one of the days, I felt a little bit discouraged because I made a mistake that caused some extra work. And of course that's normal because it's a new job. But then after I finished work, then the Lord really reminded me to turn to Him. And at first I didn't want to, because I wanted to think about how I could avoid the mistake next time. But I took the Lord as my burnt offering and really turned to Him. And in this, the Lord really revealed to me that, afresh, that I am not at this place to please men or to work unto men, but to work unto the Lord and unto the Father.
Amen.
And to present myself approved to God.
Amen.
Right. And, yes. And in taking Christ as this wonderful burned offering, I was able to turn away from all the discouragement, and it also resulted in a peace offering, because it restored the peace with the Father.
Amen.
And I was reminded of the verse again. It's been very much on my heart. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life.
Amen.
That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Amen.
Because the Father has enlisted all of us in his army, and there's a battle going on, whether we realize it or not. Satan doesn't want the Father to have the offerings. He doesn't want God's purpose to be fulfilled. And that's why he would try and discourage us and throw all kinds of darts into our mind, like this discouragement that I initially experienced.
Yeah.
But praise the Father that I want to please Him, because He enlisted me as a soldier,
mm-hmm.
and not to be entangled with the affairs of this life.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to offer up Christ as my trespass offering this week. The parking spots behind our work are very small, and it's crowded, and I was driving out to go to lunch one day in haste, and I bumped into a vehicle behind me. And I got out, I took a look, I couldn't see any real damage, so I got in the car and took off. There was another coworker that was standing outside, you know, watching at the time. And a couple of days later, you know, I'd forgotten about the incident. This coworker emails me, "Hey, I haven't met you yet. Come by and say hi." And then he comes by my desk. "Hey, we need to talk." And eventually I see him, and he's like, "Hey, so what's going on?" "How are you?" He's like, "So you hit my car." I'm like, "Oh, that's your car, yes." But the Lord really convicted me, because I had completely forgotten of this trespass. And I did not take any action to go seek restitution or find out whose vehicle it was. And he really showed me that, you know, I was getting too involved in the cares of this life. It's been so saying, you know, tangled up in the affairs of this world. My mind was somewhere else, and not on the Lord at that time. Instead of, you know, okay, notice it. Okay, maybe there's not much damage, but at least find out whose car it is or something of that nature, just to let him know. So I explained the situation to him, and you know, it kind of, you know, he said it was fine, but it was not the proper testimony for me to wait for them to find it out through a series of people. And that's what really bothered him most, is that I wouldn't take the initiative to go and resolve the problem. The Lord really convicted me in that manner. So praise the Lord that He's our trespass offering, that we can take care of these issues and change our humanity to be more like it.
Amen.
It's really wonderful.
Amen.
I have a sin and trespass offering for the Father. There is a friend I wanted to invite to the meetings, and I did invite him multiple times, but then he couldn't come and multiple times. And so at first I was like a little bit discouraged, but then I turned to the Lord and he was like, "Well, why don't you try it again?" But then there are these thoughts that started coming into my mind, because different situations came up as the weeks went on. But then I was reminded in one of the meetings where that we should be living our lives for the Father.
Yes.
And His will.
Right.
And I really had to take Him as my sin offering then, and I said, I don't want to be the one standing in the way of the Father's plan to go through.
Yeah.
And I also took Him as the burnt offering then, because then right after the meeting, I texted Him again, and I invited Him. And then He said He would come, but then something came up again, and then I was almost going to go back to my discouraged state again. But then the Lord touched me again as also kind of my peace offering, not to get angry. And I really had to praise Him for this. And I've also learned through this that we need to keep on praying for all the ones that want to come and know the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. I've been having such a battle within myself lately. So much uncertainty and doubts. But I realize that that's from the enemy. It's not from the Lord. And then having those feelings or those thoughts, I was led to this scripture a little while ago, but it came back again. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. It says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." And I was really considering this, and I realized that this morning I was supposed to pick up my young brother from the airport at this flight came in at 11, so I knew that I would probably miss the meeting today, but I think my heart wasn't in the right place, because I just didn't have the desire when I first got up to come, even though I knew that I couldn't. But it turned out that my brother missed his flight, so it got pushed back to much later, and so I was just laying there. And the Lord just really pushed me, and He was really the obedient one, and in me to bring me to the meeting. And I was so encouraged by the saints and all the sharing. And I'm thankful to be among the saints.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for his mercy.
Yes.
And his redemption.
Yeah.
Praise the
Lord. Amen.
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 I thank the Holy Spirit for bringing me here. It has been a while since I've been away. Sitting here for even there's been on and off, there's been that quiet, urge inside that keep telling me that I have to go back, I have to seek other brothers and sisters and be here to fellowship. This weekend, I was juggling whether I should go or should I spend time with my kids, my wife, my wife's family, and but with the Holy Spirit given me the courage, and at the dinner just about maybe 30, 45 minutes ago, I just stood up and I woke up and I said that I plan to go. But I didn't tell my wife, I didn't tell anybody. And just after dinner with my wife's family, and I just stood up and in my mind I was wondering, should I just say I'm just going to please excuse me, I'm going to go meet a friend, or should I go stay, or should I just say I'm going to go to a prayer meeting? And I think for some of you, you understand that that I go to a prayer meeting is very contentious with my wife and with my family. But with the Holy Spirit filled my heart, and I just stood up and I had the courage to say that I'm going to a prayer meeting instead of lying to them. And I was making a joke that I would go to a prayer meeting and learn about the Bible and I'll become a pastor. It took a lot of courage to say that. And I'm thankful to cut it short. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit to guide me with the right words. I'm thankful for being here.
Amen.
I feel like this is where I want to be. To fellowship with the brothers and with the sisters.
Amen.
It's just wonderful to see other familiar faces and all
faces. Yes.
And hopefully we'll know each other more.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Father, together we do pray for Justin.
Amen.
And his family.
Amen.
To strengthen our brother's inner man.
Amen.
And give our brother much wisdom from above.
Amen.
To be able to help the family to know him.
Amen.
Yeah, we do commit him and the whole family into your gracious hand.
Amen.
Father God.
Amen.
Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to offer Christ as my meal offering to the Father. You know, the last couple of weeks I've been traveling to visit the saints there in Sunnyvale and in Sacramento. And it was my first time in Vancouver in about 13 years. And going on this trip, I said, Lord, I want to experience you as the fine humanity, especially in the things that I do and the things that I say. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 18, it says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient.
Yeah.
And I have to say the Lord really made this verse so real in my experience. I remember when I arrived at the family's house there in Vancouver, and the first thing the parents said to me was, "My, what you said something to our children that had impact in their lives, and we want to find out from you how and what." I was like, "Oh Lord, what happened?" But I mean, it was good. I mean, they were encouraged by what was fellowshipped, and I realized at that point that from this point on, whatever I do, whatever I say living in his house, I really want to experience Christ as my meal offering. And it was good because there are many practical things the saints had to ask, especially regarding how do we apply Christ as all the different offerings that we fellowship this weekend. And it was good to be exercised each day to say, "Lord, this morning I wake up, I want to choose you as the burnt offering, that I would obey you in all the situations, especially when the questions come." And then when the questions come, I said, "Lord, I want you to speak forth for me. I don't want to speak anything that have not been accomplished by you in my word and in my speaking." And I have to praise the Lord for being my supply and also for working through me, working in me, so that everything that I would do would be in and by the Spirit. And it was good. I really enjoyed Christ in such a way.
Amen.
And you know, I always thought, you know, by the time midnight I can get some sleep, you know. But no, when everybody else goes to sleep, the phone call still comes in, and it'll be up till 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. But praise the Lord for the frankincense in the meal offering. The resurrection life was there. And I really experienced the Lord in such a way.
Amen.
And it really gave me strength to feed on him in this kind of a way. And the Lord also was able to work and deal within me just to make sure whatever I say must be by the Spirit.
Amen.
Led by the anointing.
Amen.
So I want to bring Christ as this wonderful meal offering to the Father.
Amen.
I also want to worship the Father by bringing Christ as my burnt offering. In preparation for this mini conference that we had, there are many verses that I got into. And the more I got into them, the more I realized, wow, Christ was really so absolute for the Father. And in our worship of the Father, we really need to first seek, what is it that the Father could be satisfied? And this really has not been our concept before. And the more I prepare and the more I share, the more I realize, wow, it's really like this. And then the word became so living in me. And so in my preparation, I was not nervous, or it was just, I really experienced the supply of the Spirit.
Amen.
And I really now understand when the Lord said, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." Because when I share, I'm the one who got fed. Because I really enjoy the Lord as my burnt offering. And if we are faithful to fulfill the Father's will, we surely would be filled with food, filled with supply. And I have a small measure, understand how the Lord was able to, on the earth, going through so much difficulties, yet he was 100% for the Father. And this really needs to be our experience in everything, in the worshiping of the Father and the offerings and the feast, everything that we do, even at the end, it's all about what the Father desires. And so I just had a fresh appreciation of Christ as my burnt offering. Yes, I'm really encouraged that the size of my offering right now is just a turtle dove. But hopefully it will grow in size so that the Father could truly be satisfied.
Amen.
Amen.
I have seen a trespass offering to the Father. On Monday, I have been received a bad news, and that they never get better. And at first, I was really calm. I was thinking that it's gonna go to pass. Yeah, but it never get better until the middle on Tuesday. I was completely crushed. I was overwhelmed and in severe distress. Yeah. But praise the Lord, thank to the Lord that He is the one who can do it. He is the Almighty One who can make everything go away. So He supplied throughout of the week. Yeah, and by the end of the week, I feel much better. Yeah, and praise the Lord that I was able to repent and turn to Him during the week and ask Him for help. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to offer up Christ as my burnt offering. Sorry, I would like to offer up Christ as my burnt offering.
Amen.
A small burnt offering. On Friday, everything that could have possibly gone wrong went wrong. When I left early in the morning to get home as early as possible to be with the guests and the family. And then my mom told me I had to gas up the car, to fill up the car, even though I thought I could make it because I didn't have that much gas left. So I got off the freeway and I went to get gas. And it was my first time getting gas ever. And so I spent quite a bit of time there because yeah, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And it took a lot longer there than I wanted to. And then afterwards, so I was like, okay, well, I guess I just have to keep going. And so I got back onto the freeway, and I told my dad, I was like, I don't ever want to gas up the car again. And then I was like, wait, why am I passing by Carlsbad again? And then my dad told me, he was like, are you going the wrong way? And I was just like, Lord, how is this happening? I want to get home to be with the guests. And the conference was that night, starting that night. And my dad could hear it in my voice that I was getting very, very upset and agitated. And he was like, Sarah, now is the time to experience Christ. And I was just like, and then I hung up and I was like, and I really had to cry out to the Lord because I was just so, in my flesh, I was just like, Lord, how could this happen, And I really had to cry out to the Lord because it was really bad in that moment. But praise the Lord, as I was driving back, I really was able to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
and obey his speaking, because he was like, Sarah, you need to turn to me, because otherwise you're going to be dead for the whole conference. And and he really, you know, I really experienced his resurrection life, and he really revived me in that moment on the way home. And I have to praise the Lord for his resurrection life, and that I was obedient to the Father because of Christ, not because of myself, definitely. And I wanted to offer this small burnt offering up to the Father.
I also have a trespass offering and a burnt offering for the Father. This week, I think the Lord really showed me beginning to see a lot of politics going on at work and a lot of manipulation. And the Lord also really exposed me in my following or listening to whatever other people said about other people, or am I really following the Lord? You know, even in this matter, even at work, you know, when I do stuff, am I doing everything unto the Lord, or am I kind of having a hearsay and then prejudging people based on whatever stories or small talks? And so really want to repent before the Lord, you know, because I was really reacting in my flesh, and I tasted death. And but praise the Lord, I can also take him as a burnt offering. I realized that, you know, at work this week, I was really, the Lord gave me the courage to invite my colleagues to really come to the conference. Even though none of them showed up, but I still really have to thank the Father for this experience, that at least I got to experience the Lord as my boldness, as my courage to really sound the trumpet, to really at least invite and really share a little bit with them of, you know, giving them the invitation and really asking them to come and say, you know, the Father is really seeking the true worship. And so just really want to thank the Lord for the opportunities this week, and that I realized at work the Lord is showing me more and more that I'm not really just here for myself. You know, if I'm not for the Father, if I don't have the view that I'm doing everything for the Father's satisfaction or his enjoyment, then I'm for sure doing everything for myself. And that's only the short term. But really want to praise the Father for such a Christ that we can take him as the trespass offering and the burnt offering.
Amen. Amen.
Peace offering.
Amen.
Yes. I became more aware this week how important it is that we experience the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Because many things in our surroundings want to draw us away from the Lord. Our old man, our old manner of life, everything it needs. The exceeding greatness of his power, even for us to turn to the Lord and to take him and to labor on the land. We need to work together with this great, exceedingly great power.
Amen.
And I had a kind of a similar experience at work, actually a bad experience. Most of the time, the atmosphere at my work is really bad, really bad. A lot of backbiting, a lot of gossip, a lot of evil reports behind people's back, and I want to normally walk away and not have anything to do with it, but praise the Lord. This week, the Lord said, take me as your peace. Turn to me as your peace. I am the peace offering. And I turned to the Lord, and his peace started reigning in me, and his peace swallowed all this up, which was going to draw me away from him, and just pull me down. It's really bad at times. It's really bad. And but then what was more wonderful was that actually the peace, I don't know how, but the peace started reigning in this classroom.
Amen.
Everything was subdued. Everything became peaceful. Everything became different. And I thought, this is wonderful, Lord. You can have an expression. And I was reminded of these verses in Ephesians 2, verse 17, and he came and preached peace to
Amen.
Them who were afar off and to those who were near.
Amen.
So it's the gospel of peace.
Yeah. Amen.
Christ is our peace offering. It also implies the gospel. And in Ephesians 6, verse 15, it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
And this one colleague who is especially the cause of many not so good things, I've been speaking to her about the Lord, and this time I didn't speak, but there was the peace and there was the expression. I really feel I have to glorify the Lord, I have to glorify the Father, because I was filled with His peace.
Yeah.
She saw something. And the other time it was the words, this time it was just my being there, enjoying the Lord as my peace offering.
Amen.
And I have to praise the Father,
yeah.
for Christ is our peace offering, also in the matter of the gospel.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing which I want to say in this conference. I became so conscious about we have to see what the Father desires.
Yeah, right.
I just want to say this, the saints who know me from the past, from way back when, I would never ever open my mouth, I would never ever say anything, but because I touched the Father's desire and I saw what is on his heart, and because I love the Father and
Amen.
I love the Lord,
Amen.
I am bringing the offerings, and we all the saints need to come to see. It's not just a teaching, it is really it's really to see and to follow and to obey.
Amen.
And it even becomes, when it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I see now that this is even has so much to do with preparing the offerings, because how do we work out our own salvation?
Right.
We take the Lord,
Amen.
We experience the Lord, we apply the Lord,
Amen.
Not just for our salvation, and that we may bring the offerings into his house to fulfill the Father's purpose.
Amen.
But this also became really precious to me.
Right.
Work out your own salvation. Prepare the offerings.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
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 I'd like to offer Christ as my peace offering to the Father.
Amen.
5 years ago, 2010, I started preparing some documents that are way far out in the future. And then I got to a stumbling point. There were some forms I was supposed to get. I didn't know the form number, the information was supposed to go on them, or what I was supposed to touch them after I got all the information. So I actually sat there and said to myself, well, the world's supposed to end, right? Jesus said he will come before I need these forms. And I'm just sort of like, I don't usually procrastinate things. Well, lo and behold, in 2015 arrives in my mailbox one day when I'm not even thinking about it whatsoever, a form that someone else had filled out, which is the very form that I needed, and I was supposed to be copied on it. And I was like, oh, so that's it. So in box one, you put that. So in box two, you put that. Oh, and then you copied it. Okay, I get this. So that it was, I said, okay. So timing. So I said, so the Lord is saying the timing is for you to do this now.
Yeah.
And little by little, I started, okay, I'll find the form. And then I knew there was going to be stumbling blocks, so here and there. And I said, well, those must be the mountains that the Lord will bring. First, we look at it literally, that the level of mountains. Right? Well, I'm looking at it figuratively, that these stumbling blocks are the mountains that he's going to make go away, right? And you look in Hebrews 13:6, that says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. So lo and behold, after 4 full days of working on those forms, this past week, yesterday, I got them finished. This is my peace offering, because now I feel a whole lot of peace. They're done.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. A wonderful helper.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Today at lunch, Freddie and I were just having some fellowship, and A brother asked me a question concerning the burnt offering. And, why is it that all the wood, the pieces of wood, should be placed in a proper order on the altar? And then after that, every piece of the burnt offering of the ox or sheep must also be cut into pieces and placed in the right order by the priest on the altar. You cannot just throw things like that. I mean, if you want to grill or do like that, you just everything there, it doesn't matter which order, right? You grilled a lot, right? Just whatever comes, you just put it there on top. But not with a burnt offering. So our brother was asking, what was the significance? Is there any meaning in that? Well, you have to realize that when our Lord came to this earth, according to what Solomon Hebrews says in chapter 10, behold, I come to do your will. So if you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, not one incident in his life was arranged by himself. When he should come, that was arranged by the Father long before in Daniel chapter 9. Where he should be born was arranged by the Father, according to Micah chapter 5 verse 2. He has to be born in Bethlehem. He has no choice. If he had a choice, he may think, oh, it's better to be born in a big city. Jesus, to what family? Well, he didn't have any choice. You can imagine. Suppose you were the Lord Jesus and you have to come. Which family are you going to choose? The carpenter's family? I don't think so. I would move. The best is to be born in the family of the chief priests. How about that? Isn't it good? The Lord didn't have any choice. Where should he grow up? In Nazareth. Why Nazareth? It's not a very good, reputable city. It's not a reputable city. People say, you look into the scriptures, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And the Lord has to be born and grow up there. He grew up in Nazareth. Right? So many incidents. You think John chapter 4, when the Lord was talking to the Samaritan woman, it was arranged by the Father. To make the long story short, even when he should die, how he should die, he had no choice. It is written already long before in Psalm 22, and they pierce my hands and my feet. How did David know that? 1,000 years before Christ was crucified in Psalm 27. So that means that every step of his life and when he should be crucified, it should be exactly at the day of the feast of the Passover, when the Lamb was slain. Nothing that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was ever arranged by himself. Right. So that's why, as the burnt offering, the wood has to be properly arranged in order, in a proper order. And then the pieces has to be put in the proper order, showing that our life, the life of the Lord Jesus, as well as today, we as the children of God, don't look down on the incidents that happened to you, good or bad. The Lord went through so many problems. It is all arranged by the hand of God. No wonder Romans chapter 8 says, all things happen for the good of those who love God, who were called according to his purpose. Many times we met a terrible situation. Why am I married into this family? Oh, how come I have such a son? oh, why is it that, you know, if only this happened like that and like this, we complain a lot. I complain a lot. Why should this happen to me? I had a very bad day. You know? You should be thankful you had a bad day. You know why? Because firstly, it is arranged by the Father. And secondly, for you to gain Christ and to expose your disposition. To show us what we are in ourselves and in our flesh. Otherwise, you will not realize you need a change. You need transformation, you need salvation. So, in many situations, everything is arranged by the Father. But because we don't see it, we don't realize that, and we don't know what it meant to have a burnt offering, so we missed a lot of opportunities to learn, to gain Christ, and to really grow in life, to experience what a wonderful salvation we have. So if you see that, you will realize that especially the difficult situations, just like the Lord when he was on this earth, did he ever have a good time? Are you willing to accept that kind of a life? And then reject it by so many people. If I were the Lord, I would think, forget about these people. They are not worthy of my salvation. I'm going back to heaven. And just leave them there. Wouldn't you do that? Oh, many times I'm tempted. Just forget about them. That's it. Well, I thought, if the Lord is like that with me, I would have no chance. None of us would have a chance. Right. But praise God, our Lord came as a burned offering to the Father, who is absolutely obedient to whatever situation arranged for him.
Amen.
And at the very end, before he went to the cross, he prayed because he became a man, and with the man he felt the agony. He said, Father, if it be your will, or if it's possible, let this cup pass by me. But then he turned and says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will.
Amen.
It's very good. At that time, when you had it, and your hair standing up. It's wonderful you can turn. I said, Father, I turn. I take Christ as my life.
Amen.
It's very wonderful and very good.
Yes.
You know, and as you grow in life, you can turn back and you can thank the Lord for so many difficult situations in your life. You might think it's a pressure now, but later on you will think it's a pleasure. He can turn all the pressure into pleasure.
Amen.
Into joy, because you're gaining the Lord Jesus. At the time we don't see, we complain. Now you have to realize what Paul says, do all things without murmuring, without complaining.
Amen.
And, this is why it's so important to enjoy Christ as our burned offering. If the Lord open our eyes, you can see during our daily life there's so many situations that are there, prepared, ordered by the Father's hand for us to experience Christ and to gain the Lord. And the result will be a transformation in our life. Right. This is why it's so good to enjoy and experience and prepare all these offerings, because without the situations, there is no opportunities for you to prepare all of these offerings.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Yeah.